Christ. Lord, Master. The word servant would certainly have to be there near the top of the list. What a servant Jesus was. And that's reflected in that song that we just sang, "Make me a servant, Lord. Make me like you, for you are a servant. Make me one too." There's a lot that gets in the way of being a servant insofar as we're concerned. In fact, I was reading something just today where a fellow said, you know, if times have changed so much, if Jesus Christ were to come to the earth today, he'd have a hard time living like he did back when he came. And I almost wanted to back away from what I was reading, and because that sounds almost blasphemous. The word assures us it's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The very idea that Jesus would be hindered today more than he was in his day, when the Bible tells us that he was tempted in all points like we are, and yet without sin. I don't think there's anything at all to that argument. I think it's wrong. I think it's false. I think it comes from the devil. But the fact is that today there are a whole host of things that get in our way of being the kind of servant that Jesus was. During the Revolutionary War, a group of men, soldiers, tired and haggard, were working on a section of defensive wall outside the city, and the officer was standing there barking orders, and the men were clearly just about to drop. A stranger comes riding by in civilian clothing, and he stops on his horse and he asks the officer, he said, "Sir, why are you not helping these men?" And the officer sort of straightened up a little bit and he said, "Sir, I am a corporal." The stranger said, "Very well." He got down off his horse and he began to help those men, and finally the task was accomplished and he got back on his horse. He says, "Oh, by the way, Mr. Corporal, the next time you have a major task like this and you don't have enough men to do the job, why don't you send word to your commander-in-chief and I'll come and help you again." It was none other than George Washington himself. You know, sometimes that's the way we are. We may think that serving is beneath us. Actually, when you study the Scriptures and look at the model that we find there, you'll see that serving is not down there, it's up there. In fact, someone wrote a book that I've always remembered all my life for the catchy title, and it was one of our brethren, and I could think of his name before I got up here, but anyway, the title of the book was "The Rise from Master to Servant." The Rise from Master to Servant. That's the biblical model. This morning we talked about being like Jesus, as I said. And one of the passages that we read was John chapter 12 and verse 26, where Jesus said, "If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." I should give you a little bit of an explanation for that picture on the screen. I'm hoping that you'll figure out the idea that towels have come to represent servanthood because of what the Bible tells about in John chapter 13, where you remember it says that Jesus laid aside his outer garment and girded himself with a towel and began to wash the disciples' feet. In that way, I hope that the stack of towels there is a fitting illustration for the importance of serving. Tonight, I want us to think about that subject that's suggested on the screen and also in the words of the song that we sang, "Make Me a Servant." I probably should tell you, as if you don't already know, that there are a host of different words in the original languages of the Bible that are translated into the English word servant. There are, I believe, at least seven different words that occur just in the New Testament that are rendered in English servant. The verse that I just read to you, John chapter 12, verse 26, in the New American Standard Version, which distinguishes between the terms servant and slave, only has the word servant occurring one time in the entire gospel account of John. Now, it's in there many other times in the other translations, but in the New American Standard Version, all of them but one are translated slave. One of the main distinctions between a servant and a slave is that a slave is one who has some kind of bond forcing him into service. Many times the Bible uses the term bond servant or even bond slave. And Paul referred to himself many times as the bond servant of Jesus Christ. The word servant here, though, in John 12, verse 26, is not the word that would ever be translated into English slave. It is a word that is actually more akin to minister. And the word means one who renders helpful service, as in providing the necessities and for the needs of someone. Now, with that understanding in mind, let's read it again. Jesus said, "If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also." You see, it's rather foolish to think that someone could be a servant, an attendant, and not be present where the one that he or she is attending is. Now, obviously, Jesus is not here in a physical sense with us today, but Jesus assures us in several places, in the next chapter, John 13, also back in Matthew chapter 25, in describing the judgment scene. Remember the point that Jesus makes about, "As often as you've done it to the least of one of these, you have done it to me." Because those on the right said, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or naked or in prison or sick?" And Jesus said, "As often as you have rendered that service to one of my children, you've rendered it to me." And so by extension, the responsibility to be ministers or attendants in the serving fashion is a responsibility that we bear today toward one another. This evening, I'd like for us to focus in on three things that I think are very important in the quest of being a better servant. Lord, make me a servant. Let's look at them. Number one, It is a fact that God created us to serve. One of the reasons we have been created is for the purpose of serving. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, Paul said, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." That phrase, good works, could also correctly be rendered beneficial deeds. Beneficial deeds. Beneficial to ourselves? Obviously, no. That's foolish. That gets back to the corporal in that Revolutionary War story, doesn't it? All he was concerned for was benefiting himself. The beneficial deeds, the good works that Paul says God created us for in Christ Jesus, are things that we do for the benefit of those around us who have need, in exactly the same way that John 12, 26 refers to us as the Lord's servants, the Lord's attendants, attending to the needs of those around us, and in so doing, serving Jesus at the same time. We are created for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I don't pretend to be able to be convincing enough with this point to win over those who are wrapped up in selfishness and self-elevation and self-preservation. I read about the lion who was very proud of himself, and so in order to reinforce his own feelings, he began to go to all of the animals in the jungle. And he went to the water buffalo, and he said, "Who is the king of the jungle?" And the water buffalo said, "Oh, Mr. Lion, it's you. Everybody knows it's you." And so the lion then went to the tiger, and he said, "Who is the king of the jungle?" And the tiger said, "Oh, it's you, of course. Everybody knows that the lion is the king of the jungle." And so he went and found an elephant, and he said, "I want you to tell me who is the king of the jungle." And the elephant reached out and grabbed the old lion by the tail with his trunk, and he swung him around and around a few times and walked over to the river and slammed him down in the water and held him under for a minute or so and pulled him back out and slung him up against a tree and beat all the water off of him and threw him down and stomped on him a couple of times. And the lion backed off, and he says, "Hey, listen, just because you don't know the answer, you don't have to be so mean about it." It's really hard to convince those who are wrapped up in selfishness that servanthood is one of God's highest ideals for us. There is no greater service to be rendered on this earth than to serve others. We've got so many people around here at Redland Road who do such a good job of demonstrating the importance of serving one another. And I'm so thankful for every one of you. I hope that all of us will do everything that we can to be better servants, because God has created us to serve. Number two, it is very important that we understand that serving is Christ-like, and surely that fact helps us to be better able to relate to the idea of serving. Jesus made several statements during his earthly ministry that called attention to the fact that his primary purpose for coming was for the benefit of mankind. In fact, he even went so far on one occasion to say that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Not to be ministered to, but to minister. He was described even in Old Testament prophecy as the suffering servant who gave himself away in order to provide salvation. Serving is Christ-like. If you've got your Bible open there to John chapter 12, just turn the next page over to chapter 13. One of the most beautiful stories about serving that we'll ever find in Scripture, and then you're familiar with it, I know, because it tells of that occasion when Jesus, just before his death, met with his disciples in the upper room, and he began to wash their feet with that towel around his waist. And you remember how he worked his way through all of them. And when he had finished, beginning at verse 12, it says, "When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, 'Do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should also do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them.'" Jesus said, "You are to be like me. And I have just rendered to you a very lowly service." Now, we all understand Jesus wasn't instituting a church ritual or a practice of worship or anything like that. Some have misunderstood what's said here and have concluded that that's what was going on. But Jesus is simply teaching a lesson about humility. Because it was at this time, on this occasion, that the disciples had just been arguing with one another about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And so Jesus, their master, who Paul would later describe as taking upon himself the form of a servant, washed their feet. You want to be like Jesus? You need to serve. There's a third thing that I think we should observe before we're finished, and that is this. Oops. Matthew, see if you can advance that slide. Thank you. Not sure what's going on here. You cannot serve by proxy. You cannot serve by proxy. You know, I'm not opposed to taking a shortcut whenever taking a shortcut doesn't diminish the purpose that's to be accomplished. Thanks to technology and the development of all kinds of abilities today, we find it much easier to do a lot of things. You can take your smartphone, if you've got one of those things, and you can do some things there that just a year or two ago, most of us felt like we had to go home and fire up the old computer and do it. But you can handle that on your smartphone. You can link it in to all kind of things. But there's no shortcut to service, and you cannot serve from a distance. You have to be present. You have to be there. Isn't that what Jesus said in John 12, verse 26, the verse we read at the very beginning? If anyone serves me, he must follow me. He must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. In other words, you can't claim to be one of my servants, and then you're never around. You can't claim to be a minister, one who attends to the needs of others, when you're never there. You cannot serve by proxy. There are a whole host of other things that we could observe, but perhaps these three are sufficient to remind us. There's a blank slide next. You can go to it now. I'll just leave all the slide control to Matthew since my remote doesn't work. It's really, really important that we get serious about serving. Because, one final note, serving is all about showing our love. Now, sometimes you may render a service to someone that you don't particularly care for, but surely you love their soul and you want the best for them. But when it comes to serving the Lord, that's how we demonstrate our love. There's another song that we sing sometimes. I will serve you. Because I love you, you have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch is what I long for. You have given life to me. Make me a servant, Lord. Make me like you. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing this song.